Hey guys, I'm Randy Younger of Truth Be Told, and with me today is filmmaker and actor Derek Ting of the new science fiction action film Agent Revelation. Derek, how are you today?
I'm great. How you doing from Hong Kong?
Good, good. All good here in Queens, New York.
I love it. I'm from New York.
Oh, are you? Oh, great. What part?
Yeah, there's a lot of good food in Queens. I'm from upstate New York. I went to school in New York and then worked in New York City for like a number of years, like five to seven years.
Well, we miss you. Come back.
Oh, I miss it. The museums, the walking on the, you know, just walking and shopping. But yeah.
Nice.
I'll make it back.
So Agent Revelation, it's this huge epic sci-fi action film. Tell everybody, how did the project originally come about?
Yeah, sure. It's the sequel to a pilot feature that I did. That movie was shot entirely in desert, and I wanted to see if I could do action, and I love sci-fi. It's, you know, it's kind of my first foray into sci-fi, and that movie went well. So Agent Revelation is really the culmination of an idea that I had. I did some research on something called the Dolce Base. I'm not sure if you've heard of that, but that's like a conspiracy theory that basically the US government is going and experimenting on aliens and things like that. So this movie is about a rejected CIA analyst who is transformed by red dust and becomes a super soldier, and he can communicate with aliens.
Cool. Yep.
So this secret organization brings him to his base and they train him. Meanwhile, he's trying to figure out like why aliens have returned to Earth.
Now, I know in the movie they briefly mention Area 51. Is there any connection there with this plot?
You caught that. I mean, you know, there's a lot of just kind of references to the research I did. I really went down the rabbit hole. It's pretty much a reference, you know, and that's it. But then, you know, all the other things about sort of, you know, the Anunnaki, like I did research on the Anunnaki. There's a reference to Planet X. If you search on YouTube, there's a whole like, just like tons of videos on Planet X. So yeah, I mean, fun stuff, throwing it in there. And then hopefully, like, you know, because I'm a fanboy, you know, because I love this stuff too. You know, hopefully people will feel the same way.
And going into the movie, how well versed were you in like, you know, alien mythology and like conspiracy theories?
I think the Anunnaki are probably the most interesting ones because they're kind of like this alien race that people talk about. And that was like 500,000 years ago. And of course I renamed them the Kenians. Mm-hmm. So I think that what you'll find is that I'm very well versed, but then it's an interpretation. So hopefully people don't take this as like, oh, this is actually happening, or this is like, you know, science. I've heard something called science fact. Okay. That's kind of like the blurry line that I think I'm having fun with.
I like that.
So yeah. I mean, I watch like, do you watch Ancient Aliens on History Channel?
No, but I've been meaning to.
There's so many cool things on there. I mean, each episode is like half an hour. They only give you like one thing, but you know, aliens used to experiment on sound. They use sound. So there's, you know, elements of that. Of course, you know, again, there's not these, it's not very blatant or anything. It's just kind of interpretation. So
now it's a very physical role. Jim Young, you play the lead in this action spectacle. Very physical role. Did you do any special preparation for the role?
Oh yeah. I mean, I trained, you know, every day, and, just because people find out that I self-directed this too as well. So just, it's not like I was just the actor and
right.
I show up and I do the work, but I'm also kind of like, after that scene is done, then it's still, all right, moving on. Let's get the next shot, or let's change this angle, or let's change the lens to from a 50 to, you know, 7200 or something like that. So a lot of it was just kind of mentally preparing myself by doing some kind of like aerobic activity, because you get tired. I mean, just always on your feet all the time. But then I do a lot of body weight stuff. Okay. So really into push-ups, pull-ups, things like that. And then I trained on the beach a little bit too, even just kind of like running around, getting your legs tired. So yeah, a lot of training, many months.
What about dealing with firearms?
Yeah, funny enough that, so I hadn't shot a firearm until the year 2016. And that's kind of how the first one got started. A friend of mine took us out to the desert to shoot weapons. And I got to shoot like M4s, automatics, things like that. So I got to be honest, I was a bit nervous about handling them. But then I got a little more comfortable, but still I get nervous around handling a weapon. But yeah, I've had that kind of experience. And then we actually, for that one, we shot with live firearms with fire safety officers for that. But however, I want to tell you something about airsoft, which I think is interesting. Right. That's what a lot of the tactical military using now to kind of practice. Mm-hmm. So I did a number of, yeah, they're like BBs.
Okay.
But you know, the guns look real and they're heavy.
Oh, really?
They're heavy. Actually, my fight choreographer was like, so we strapped this like M4 to my back and I was doing like jumping off this, like just kind of small kind of platform. But we strapped it there and he was like, can we change it to something lighter? And well, I mean, all our props were kind of airsoft on set so that there was, you know, great safety. Don't have to really worry about anything. But it was heavy. So it just kind of like added a lot of weight. So when you do it like 10 to 15 takes, normally like if a prop might be lighter or they'll use lighter props, but, in this case it kind of added to the realism. So that's kind of my experience. I'm into it, but I think I'm definitely cautious about it.
Yeah. Now, you know, for the third one, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I want to mention too, like, we had, Matt Burnett, who helped us with the tactical stuff. So like how to, you know, how to turn corners, how to hold the weapon properly, all those things. He's awesome. And then I actually had a military vet who's a stunt coordinator. His name is Chad Bennett. Shout out to Chad. He's done a ton of movies with, just basically he advised Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. for the tactical stuff and other movies. And then of course, finally, my main stunt coordinator, Joe Fiddler, he did The Punisher for Netflix. And he's great too. We have an opinion on how to handle that stuff, handle like kind of action with military stuff. So you don't see a lot of, you know, it's not a lot of back and forth. Sometimes if you see some fight choreography, it's a lot of back and forth. It tends to be not as realistic, but to engage somebody, there's a lot of disarming first. And then you're going to lose a lot of simple moves. So I'm not like jumping around or anything. I'm really just throwing the necessary punches and knees or elbows or something like that. Stuff that maybe you'd see more like in the UFC or something.
Yeah. Sounds like a really busy, busy time there on the set. So
it's fun. It's fun. Yeah. It happens really fast too. We move fast.
You're a star writer, producer, and director. What was it like wearing so many hats?
You do a lot of prep. And honestly, I see my role as just kind of a leadership role. You have a lot of really good team to back you up. And so every step of the process is just about kind of like, you know, pumping people up and motivating them to be the best they want to be. You know, I think that's it. And then, being a director is really what the word is. It's direction. So like keeping people focused and making sure that the story is told properly. That's like essentially what it is. But yeah. And then now that this is my fourth feature, I'm much more confident. I know what I'm doing. So, you know, we just kind of have our own workflow and it works. I mean, I'm completing getting it out. So yeah.
Yeah, it definitely shows. Very collaborative, hardworking set, it seems. What was it like putting together this cast, working with this wonderful crew?
This was awesome. So I work with an a casting director called Mark Tillman. He's a veteran in the industry. He did MacGyver from the 80s and he did It, you know, he was, and he's like original OG Hollywood casting director. And he's done a number of other movies, but just kind of showing you how far he went back. We put out a breakdown in Hollywood and we had, man, we had 5,000 to 10,000 people apply for all the different parts.
Nice.
And we had a casting session. So he kind of narrowed down to who we wanted, who would be good. Mainly a lot of it's based on resume, but also who can act. And, you know, so then I had to kind of pour through all the different potential actors for each part.
Nice.
And that's kind of how we did it. So, you know, Michael's a star name. And I looked through pages of star names and I, you know, of course I'm a Star Trek fan. So, that was definitely good. But also it's interesting to have a story. My dad had a heart attack. So I flew to New York, right away. This was when we were casting.
Okay.
And, I'm chatting with my brother. My brother is a huge Trekkie. And we're just waiting for his results. My dad, by the way, is fine. I don't want to create too much suspense. I'm a storyteller, filmmaker, but
good.
So we're sitting there and we're just chatting. I'm like, yeah, you know, I'm looking through all these different actors. There's a lot to choose from. They're all great. And some, you know, I grew up on watching these guys in many movies, and he was instinctually like, oh, you know who you want? You want Michael Dorn. And I said, oh, okay, interesting. Yeah, and that's how we got Michael Dorn. Well, how we got Michael Dorn was, you know, obviously we went to him, we sent him the script, and it was because he liked the script, the dialogue, and that the character was very compelling. And I think that's pretty exciting about him too, is that I think you're gonna see a whole different side of him. His voice is amazing. Obviously people know him as Worf on Star Trek. He's a real handsome guy. He has a great presence. He's tall. He's taller than me. So yeah, when we look at, you know, each actor, we look at those things. And then the rest of the cast is amazing too. They all have like resumes, pages of resumes, been on major shows. Kayla's, you know, was on Vampire Diaries. She's on Roswell now. Mm. Eve is a great military soldier. She handled the action really well. She doesn't even have a stunt double. And you know, I had her come in and she read, and she's great too. So yeah, everyone's great.
Yeah, and everyone's very pretty, I noticed. So, very attractive cast you've assembled.
It's LA. It's so competitive. It's so competitive. I'm like, you know, just amazed at how many good actors and actresses are. You know, yeah. I mean, by the way, like we brought back Mariah Cunningham and Terrence Jones, like great actors, really, you know, good looking. So it's like,
yeah. It worked really well. Now I'm curious, there are obviously challenges on all sets. What were some challenges that you, Derek, faced? What did you face on set, challenge wise?
Oh man. How many times, like, you know, we just try to keep it together and make sure it's the best. Some of the stuff, I think with sci-fi, you know, you're creating this world. And I was concerned about that. So especially with the visual effects, I kind of was in over my head. And, but I would say that's probably was the biggest hurdle, that I didn't realize how much visual effects we would need. I knew that we'd needed it, but I didn't know it was that much. And I can't stand, movies where the visual effects don't meet the level and quality of the movie.
Right.
So we went to, you know, some of the best in Hollywood, essentially. I spent months looking for the right visual effects company, and I found these guys in Marina Del Rey. They're ex-Digital Domain. They started their own company 5 years ago. My supervisor, Chad, shout out to Chad. He worked on Tron. He worked on Greyhound, which just came out.
Okay. Tom Hanks.
With Tom Hanks. He was on set there. That was probably the biggest hurdle too, because it took so long. Hey, here's a story on when I was on set though. I gotta say, I got hit by the guy with the blades. His name is Butcher. He's not named in the movie.
Okay.
He's a guy with these electric blades.
Was that one of the aliens?
One of the baddies. One of the baddies. The stunt guy, Mark Michoni, who's awesome, very gracious stunt guy. I was purposely getting close to him because it has to look, authentic. And he was very careful, but it was my fault. I didn't duck in time. One of the props, which was, it wasn't like a styrofoam. It was basically a stick, hit me in the head. It has acrylic, the blades were acrylic. Okay. In the movie, they're enhanced with visual effects. And I gotta say, it hurt really bad, but
didn't break the skin.
What?
It didn't break.
No. I think luckily somehow he kind of that's the great thing when you work with great stunt people. I think at the last minute he saw me, not ducking in time, and then he kind of turned his wrist so the stick hit me in the head. But I was kind of phased, how you kind of just you have 20-30 people on set, and things are moving. You got to get the last shot. And, they're all sit down. And I'm no, we need to keep going. We don't finish this. I'm screwed. We can't just come back. 'Cause the next day we're going to another location. So I'm just totally screwed. So a lot of things like that happening where you're just kind of if you don't get to the next thing, then you're screwed. Yeah. So
just keep going, adapt, move on.
Yeah. Totally. And that's the fun part of it too, is that I'm so lucky. It's not a $200 million film, but it's still an expensive film. We spent good money on everything, the sound, the cast. But you don't get do-overs,
Yeah.
You don't get to do those things that you could do, So you can fix a lot of things. You can massage a lot of things, but you don't get complete do-overs. So, but maybe someday I'll have that luxury.
No, this movie did not need that at all. It looks polished. It looks, very well put together. You assembled something really special.
Thank you. I don't list that I'm the editor, but I edited many times. And I think that's you see a lot of stuff that comes out. And sometimes the story can towards the end be a letdown, or some things don't get wrapped up very well. And I think that's because you're on a TV deadline or whatever, or a studio is, I am pretty fast and I hit deadlines, but I think the luxury of the people behind me, my executive producers, who are so cool, they let me have free reign. They trust me. And I think that's probably because I've done 4 movies out now. Yeah. I get that luxury that when it's done, because they know that I'm putting my heart, my soul, my passion into my product, because, everything has to be perfect.
I know. That's so cool. I love hearing about that. On set, I guess in your mind, collaboration is probably key.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I have my stunt coordinator calling action sometimes, especially if I'm working myself up as an actor. I gotta call, hey Joe, can you call action for me? That's great. Actually, by the way, he did a couple great pickup shots for me, when I was busy doing a couple close-ups on the ticking time bomb. That's an easy shot to do, but you have to get it right. You have to get the certain moments even on the ticking time bomb. So he was like, hey, look, I'm going to take the guys and we're going to shoot some B-roll right now. I'm like, yeah, go do it, you know? So it's kind of like that. And then I was like, oh, I can actually use this in the movie. And oh, this is great. So,
nice.
Yeah. Things like that. I mean, yeah.
Cool.
You know, Chad with visual effects, they created a lot of the, I gave them references, but then, you know, they interpret it.
And it's crazy. Like, I can't even imagine you even sleeping. Like, you're doing so much on this movie. So I commend you on that as well, sir.
Well, thank you. I gotta say, there's a danger in terms of running your crew into the ground. I think a lot of indie filmmakers make that mistake, and they'll go, oh yeah, we went 15 hours, we went 18 hours, we went 25 hours. And I'm like, no. 12 hour mark, generally we're going to stop, because that way I just go back home and crash. So, I mean, we were in LA, so the nice thing, I had an assistant, Curtis, and he drove us back. By the way, you know, my wife produces with me, so, you know, he drove us back, and then, you know, I just sleep in the car, and then bam, we're back up, you know. So
crazy schedule, really, really nuts.
Yeah, you have to plan, but then and manage your timing. That's why I say it's like I say it also, I'm kind of like a quarterback. So, you know, you don't run a running play every time. Mm-hmm. You get your running back going, and then sometimes you throw, a wide receiver or something, and you mix it up. You change players every so often. So I'd like, you know, I'm almost like, you know, Peyton Manning, which is like just calling the calls. All right, this is what we're going to do. And then, you know, oh, audible.
Just, yeah. Don't work yourself ragged, man. It sounds pretty daunting.
I'm always like, I love the process. And then after the filming production, I'm like, okay, you know, I'm glad to be like waking up at home in my jammies and yeah, just sleeping in. So, hey, if you love what you're doing, like, which I'm totally blessed, then it's not really work.
So what do you hope audiences take away from Agent Revelation?
Hey, you know, I think it's a fun movie to watch. I grew up on 80s and 90s action sci-fi films. I kind of miss those. Like, honestly, I don't get excited that much anymore about what's coming up. Just because I think those times were just so precious. Maybe I'm nostalgic, but maybe I think that there was the risk taking, on original stuff. And I think that that's what people want, is new stuff, you know, not throwing the baby out with the bathwater, but, you know, some new stories, new perspectives. I think this type of movie has that, a new perspective to tell, but still has the elements of the things that attract me. Like, I'm interested in aliens. I'm interested in action. I want to see that stuff, but I also want to see what, I invest myself in a character, and I want to see what that character does. I want to see what that character discovers. So, for example, the main character is kind of, it's very loosely based on just the story my friend told me about him being adopted at a very early age of age 8. And then he was in Hong Kong, and he got brought to the States. And then, you know, he didn't have a good experience at that time with his adopted parents, partly because he was just, you know, he's just transported into a new place. And so, constructing that type of character for me was interesting. So kind of going through this kind of, you know, sci-fi character journey, how does this guy kind of handle everything? You know, how does he take on friendships? How does he take on relationships? How did he become the person that he wants to be? You know, how did he gain confidence in who he wanted to be, and, you know, the things that he wanted to do? I think that to me has to be some sort of grounding for any movie for me to kind of get involved. Otherwise, it's like, oh, let me fast forward to the action. Yeah. But I don't think that's the case. I think you're going to get that sort of taste and process of some drama, but then, you know, there is lots of action. There's 12 action sequences. There's still that kind of spectacle, but wrapped up, you know, we're still kind of getting that. The heart that you need, you know.
That's at the core, the heart, for sure. And throw in Michael Dorn, hey, you've got a hell of a movie. So, congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah. Michael Dorn is phenomenal in this, you know. So, I constructed his character like a combination of like a Steve Jobs or an Elon Musk, like that type of kind of figure and role. And I thought that was, you know, there's not that many actors that can play that role. And he nailed it.
Now, are there any other projects you're working on now that you can chat about, or what's the word?
Yeah, absolutely. So we're working on an Agent 3. I'm actually writing the script right now. So it's nuts.
All right.
So we had a screening back in July. This is when, you know, I just kind of finished the movie. Wow. And, you know, we found some new investors that really liked it, you know? So, the treatment is done. I know what's happening. So, you know, of course, any filmmaker wants to build and grow. So this one's going to be like, there's going to be like spaceship battles. There's going to be like so much more. If you thought that, if you enjoyed this one, there's going to be even more. So I'm so psyched about it. And I'm very lucky to just be like, oh, I know what I'm doing, you know, for another couple of years. That's how it is as a filmmaker. You just kind of know what you're doing for like a year or two, and then you know, you finish your movie, but it's just kind of going that way. So
any cast members you can discuss now?
We're bringing back, you know, a lot of the original characters.
Okay, great.
I'm bringing back Michael Dorn.
Nice.
No doubt.
No spoilers.
I have figured that out. There's no spoilers. I'm bringing back Michael Dorn for sure. You know, and the rest of the crew. So, you know, if you watch the movie, you'll figure out who comes back.
I actually watched the film twice.
Yeah. Wow.
It's so much fun. It's a good one, man. And I had fun watching it.
Oh, that's awesome. Thank you. That I love that. I mean, I worked on the movie for 3 years. So you can't imagine, like, and you're my first interview. So,
oh, wow. Well, great.
In person, there's a number coming up, but you're going to be my first. So, thank you for saying that. That makes me happy. If, you know, actually people comment on my Facebook and my YouTube. And, I love that. Yeah. I love that, you know, and we've gotten really good just comments, like the excitement.
Yeah.
Love that. So it's what I kind of live for, is finding the right people who will appreciate, you know, the work.
And if this is part two, then I can only imagine part three being even better, because now you have a little more money from the, you know, the backing to fully realize this world and these characters. And yeah, I'm looking forward to that one.
It's going to be shot partially in Hong Kong too, so I'm bringing it back to Hong Kong because I'm based here. So there's going to be some Hong Kong actors in it. And there's also some additional cast, which I think people will get excited about, but can't make any announcements. So
I hear you. No, mum's the word. Lastly, how can people see Agent Revelation? Is it streaming anywhere, or how can people see this fun film?
In North America, it's going to be on premium video on demand. So it'll be on all major platforms, cable, VOD, iTunes, Amazon. And then so the way it works, that's a certain window of time. And then it would go on to like kind of the streaming platforms after that. But I hope people will come out and support the film in the beginning. And we're going to have like a whole ton of like Q&As and stuff like that around the film. And And then internationally, I know Japan has already picked it up, so I can mention that. That'll be in March. And then a number of other countries are, you know, picking it up. We just started selling in November, and right now it's like December. So That's usually how it works. So it'll roll out. But North America is our primary right now because of the fact that we shot in California and all the cast is there and everything. So
it seems to be blowing up, and that's amazing. And I hope to even see like maybe a toy line out of this. I don't know. I could see that possibility.
Oh my gosh, that would be so cool.
Why not?
Yeah, I'd love the spaceship to be a toy or something. Yeah. I grew up on G.I. Joe and He-Man, so you're, I mean, that would be, I don't know. Yeah, it's like
I'm more like the Colonial Marines and Aliens, kind of that vibe, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, Aliens is one of my favorite movies. I mean, geez, like
I saw James Cameron. Some similarities here with Agent Revelation. And a little bit of like Starship Troopers.
Love Starship Troopers. Underrated film. Yes. Casper Van Dien.
Yep. He's great.
Yeah. Love the kind of cheekiness of it, you know. Yeah, totally. Sweet. Yeah, but, I mean, like all the Predators. I'm a Schwarzenegger fan, like, nice. You know, Stallone, like
that nostalgic feeling and that love for like 80s, 90s sci-fi action is totally present in your movie. So again, congratulations.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you. Yeah. I mean, hearing, especially from someone who like appreciates film, knows film, like that means a lot to me.
Well, Derek Ting, I want to thank you so much for your time today. This was great. The film is great. And I wish you all the best. Come again soon. I hope to see interview you for part 3, actually.
You got it. You got it.
So I'm Randy Unger, and this has been Truth Be Told. Thanks so much for watching. We'll see you next time.